variety, culture, and class in America. Live from Long Island's Gold Coast, this is the Melissa Itell Duran Show on Breaking It Down Radio with co-host Frank McKay.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the Melissa Itell Duran Show. Frank McKay here with the subject of two separate documentaries. You can check it on Melissa Vision, on Roku TV, Amazon Fire. Frank McKay here. Much more importantly, Melissa Itell Duran, Renaissance Woman, is our host each and every week. And you can go to melissaitelduran.com. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing great, Frank. I'm still laughing from last night.
And last night, because some people are going to hear it, you know, like a day or two later, who knows, right? But last night, you're talking about the president's speech. And how bad was it? I didn't see it. All I'm hearing is the response back. And boy, people are killing him over it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was bad enough for me. Anyway, I wasn't feeling well to begin with. I had a terrible headache, and it was starting to subside, and then I turned it on, and I don't know. I said, oh, no, I can't listen to this.
Oh, my God.
Turn this off.
what was it, in short, what was it? Because I heard from a Dem last night. Late last night, I texted one, and somebody who loves Biden, and I said, what am I hearing? How bad was this? And they said, it definitely was, he didn't have a great night, you know, something like that. Yeah. So if somebody who loves Biden is saying he didn't have a great night, how bad was it?
Well, I don't know. It was a very strange opening. He made a reference to, I know you all want to go home, but not yet, you know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and he seemed very jaunty, you know, and they must have wired him up with something, you know. They must have you know, plugged him in with some kind of amphetamines, maybe.
God, who knows? They got a special Joe pill. You know, Joe pill. They give it to him, and then we can get a good hour out of him or 2 hours out of him. Wow. Did he seem like he was suffering from dementia, or did he just seem lost?
I thought it was more hysteria. You know, maybe whatever drugs they gave him were starting to kick in, and he was, I don't know, veering from I thought manic, kind of, you know, mania to anger and to some kind of I don't know, hysteria. I couldn't tell. I'm not an expert on the emotional effects of certain psychotropic drugs. Sorry, I shouldn't say that.
No, it's listen, it's probably you're probably right on. You know, you got to say what it is. And it's the president of the United States. If we have to watch what we say about the president of the United States, forget it. We're in a different country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we sure are. I mean, but that was the glaring. That was the, I guess, the outward effects. But I think what most pundits are looking at, what most people who are politically astute are looking at, people who discuss the issues, they're looking at the content of the speech. And I heard later on, I heard snippets of it, you know, pieces. I didn't, because I just couldn't bear to listen to the whole thing. So I can't tell you what happened. I know at the end, I did flip it back on at the end, and he was in the aisles, and he was talking to, you know, people. And you could recognize some of the famous faces out there, including George Santos, who was in the stands.
Wow.
Believe it or not. Well, I don't know who invited him.
Wow. Wow.
But rumor is he's running. He intends to run, not for, you know, District 3, you know, Congressional District 3, where Tom Suozzi is now reinstalled, but for the Congressional District, the first Congressional District in New York. I don't know where that is.
That's Nick LaLota, where Nick LaLota is.
Oh.
And yeah, that used to be Lee Zeldin's old stomping grounds.
Oh, my God. No kidding.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Oh, I don't know who invited him, but I guess you get a pass. I mean, look, I heard yesterday I heard this morning that Sid Rosenberg was invited by the Staten Island congressman.
Nicole Meliotakis?
Not Nicole. I saw her. She was also I saw her in the beginning when he was doing the when Biden was walking down the aisles. He was doing the processional. She of course he didn't speak to her. She spoke to Steve Scalise.
Yeah.
You know, and they were very friendly. But maybe he's not from Staten Island. I'm not sure who it is. It was a gentleman who invited him, I think. Somebody invited Sid Rosenberg, and Sid Rosenberg got escorted out of the gallery for
heckling.
Yes, they didn't call it that, but his behavior was unbecoming of a guest. But so I guess George Santos must have been on somebody's invitation list, on somebody's guest list, and there he was. He's palling around. I mean, the guy's facing criminal charges, and the rumor is he's intending to run.
Yeah, it's crazy. I heard I got a text. Now I haven't read this, but there's a Gold Star dad arrested after heckling Biden during State of the Union, right? And this was a New York Post story, and then the person who sent it to me said, "But the freaks having sex on camera in the room aren't arrested. What a world!" Do you know what that person's talking about that said that?
No.
Was somebody carrying on romantically in front of the cameras?
Who knows? Anything's possible, right?
Yeah. What a world. What a world
it
is, right?
It is. It's unbelievable. And Sid Rosenberg was an invited guest. And, you know, he's a very vocal opponent of Biden, especially when it comes to Israel. Because Biden said Israel's, in effect, I'm not even paraphrasing. I'm just interpreting it, that Israel has to back down. This is a directive toward Netanyahu, obviously,
yep.
And that there's a need for a two-state solution.
Oh boy!
And innocent people in Gaza are being targeted. They're being maimed. They're being killed, starved, etc. I mean, obviously, this is a swipe at Netanyahu. And I think while he was making those comments, Sid Rosenberg, who was sitting way up in the gallery, stood up and said, "Says who?" Meaning, who says in other words, it's okay if Israel got if all those people in Israel and in Gaza at the kibbutzim were murdered and the women were raped and people are missing and we still don't have back any. Most of the hostages since October, and how many months has that been? So he yelled that out, and immediately he was ushered out of his seat,
yeah,
and detained. And the reason I found out about it was because I happened to be up at a very obscenely late hour because I didn't feel that well. I couldn't sleep. I heard it on the radio. And who was on the late night? And how this is not. This is kind of indirectly related. Who's in Frank Morano's place for his usual after midnight
Curtis.
Show? The other side of midnight. Curtis Lee. Well, I'm wondering. wait. What day is this? Wait a minute. What day is this?
Yeah.
You know, did something happen? Did I lose track of time? And it's no, I didn't. And there was no explanation. I don't know what happened. I hope Frank Morano is okay. Maybe he was supposed to take over for Sid, who has a morning drive show. But this morning, Sid was on. So he got him. I don't know if he's probably still in Washington. So obviously, he somehow or other he was released. Maybe John Castamatidis was able to post bail for him. I don't know. So this is all this craziness that's been going around.
Wow. I didn't know any of this. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. Frank McKay here with Melissa Itell-Joran, everyone. And I'm getting this for the first time. We're speaking on Friday morning after the State of the Union. And what a moment.
Yeah. Oh boy.
I've been to the State of the Union and I've got to believe you can't just start yelling things out, you know, like I got to, you know, regardless of what it is. So you know, let's face it, Sid's no dummy. He's getting national exposure on this. Mm-hmm. And it's not like he threatened anybody. It's not. He just said, says
no.
Who, you know.
Right.
So he's Sid Rosenberg's going to get plenty of publicity on this. I mean, there's...
Absolutely.
We're talking about it right now.
Yeah. Which president's State of the Union did you invite
Bush,
to?
Bush 2, you know,
Oh, okay. So that was that pre-2000... One or
no, no. It was afterwards. It was afterwards.
Oh, okay.
But he was very, very popular at the time.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yes, yes, yeah.
It was after 9/11.
It was after 9/11. Right, right. Wow. And who invited you? Were you the guest of somebody who's currently in Congress?
No, not currently. But he was the leader of DAC, Democratic Action. I'm sorry, Democratic. DCCC, right? So I'm saying DAC, that's a Democratic Assembly Committee, that's for New York. He was the head of the DCC, and that is Steve Israel, Congressman Steve Israel. Yeah,
right,
and he's
right,
also an author, and he's an old friend of mine and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually, he represented parts of what Swazi has now, and I guess parts of what Garbarino had, right? Garbarino probably has some of his district's been cut up like you wouldn't believe. But he took me, and I sat with him, and I had very special, I had a very special treatment there, you know, before and after and all of that. And now, even though he was the opposition, he walked me up to the president. I just kind of followed him. I would have told him no if I knew what he was doing. And the president signed, or maybe I got it the next day. The president signed the schedule or whatever it is for the State of the Union. You know, so it says, I got it somewhere. I don't know where my wife has that, but it's signed by George W. Bush the night of his State of the Union. And I don't know whether he signed it there. If that did it look like people had Biden signing things afterwards?
I think he was taking selfies.
Oh, selfies. Yeah, yeah. So this is before the age of selfies. This is before...
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But everything today is a selfie.
Yeah. But anyway, so I'm sure I would have got a selfie if we had smartphones at that point, but that was a little before that. And I always appreciated Steve Israel for doing things like that. He had me at the White House, and he introduced me to Biden as vice president, and you know, I was at the White House for the Christmas party. The Christmas party in 2013, and the only reason I didn't meet Obama in person, and I've met seven presidents, I count Obama because he called me, and we had a extensive conversation with Patrick Gadsbar that Obama did, but Biden hosted the White House Christmas party instead of POTUS is President of the United States, and FLOTUS had flown to South Africa because in 2013 on December 7th or whatever, President Mandela was being laid to rest. So when Nelson Mandela died, obviously President Obama was going to be there. He was giving the eulogy. And in fact, I got a call from, and this didn't come through Israel, but I guess, you know, from Steve Israel, but I got a call from the White House asking if on, I guess it was that day, December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, right? Whatever day the White House Christmas party was, if I would spend 10 minutes with the president discussing the future of third party politics was. Now, this was after he wasn't running. And I said, oh, I'd be honored. Anytime somebody says that about the presidency, you know, about a president, I always say yes, of course, you know, I'd be honored. It's the office, you know, it's the office. It's not the man, and I never voted for Obama, but I appreciated that. So I had an appointment, and it was several hours before the party started. It was I think 3:15. It was an odd time. It was like 3:15, and it was going to be 10 minutes unless he decided, of course, to extend it. But it was, they said, expect to spend 10 minutes with POTUS, with the president. And strangely enough, I don't know, I'm going into all of this, it's just coming back to me now, there was a mayoral candidate that was going to run against de Blasio, and he ended up pulling out. I'm God, I can't remember his name. I feel terrible. He was a money guy, and he was running as a Republican, and I came in to meet him because we were gonna back him over De Blasio, of course. But he had hired all kinds of big money staffers. God, I don't know why I can't think of this guy's name. But anyway, he was a businessman, right. And one of his staffers was a woman that used to be President Obama's appointment secretary, whatever that you know specific thing was at the White House, and she knew my name, and she brought up that she made an appointment for me to meet the president. She said, how did the meeting go with the president that I set up? I said, what president? She said, President Obama. She said, I set up a meeting once for you and the president at the White House. And I said, I said, was it in 2013? And she thought it. She said, I guess so. She said, I was there during 2013. And I said, President Mandela died, and it was canceled. And Vice President Biden ended up hosting the Christmas party, and they canceled my meeting. And she was like, oh, right. Oh, she said, I've made so many appointments, but she said, that's where I know your name from. Independence Party and Frank McKay. So that's kind of like an interesting little side note there. But anyway, that was Steve Israel who started that ball rolling by inviting me to the Christmas party.
Right.
And I'll say another thing is, the one last thing is that the Christmas party, it goes from A to L, like one day, A to L comes, and it's all, you know, congressional members and senators, mm-hmm. Republicans, Democrats, whatever. So people from A to L come one day, and then the next day it's M to Z, right? Now I'm M and Israel is I. So since I was going to be his guest, I forget if we went on the M day or we went on the I day, but both days were being hosted by Vice President Biden. Frank McKay here with Melissa Eitel-Joran. Melissa, go ahead. I cut you off.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, yes, I recall, yes, Steve Israel is also a published author.
Yes, very good novelist.
Yeah, that's great. I'm a real, you know, an all-around talent. And that's wonderful.
I love Israel. I love Steve Israel. He's very strong on the state of Israel, and very, you know, very good on that. You know, he's certainly left of where I am politically, but he was much more moderate than any Democrat that you're gonna. He's more moderate than some Republicans in the state of New York, that's for sure. But he's, you know, he had to play the game in order to get to the Democratic congressional committee top to be the head of that. You have to be you have to play the game, and of course Pelosi and I forget who was there. He was Obama's campaign manager. I can't think of his name, but a very famous politico from Chicago. Mm-hmm. What was his name? Strange first name. Anyway, we'll think of it later on.
Great, I can't help you.
Yeah.
The name might come to me afterwards.
yeah, but he became the mayor of Chicago, too, I believe.
Yeah, God.
What is it?
It's not Ron Emanuel, is it?
Yeah, Rahm Emanuel.
Rahm Emanuel. What is he doing now? I should know this.
I don't know. Rahm, how do you spell Rahm? Is it R-O-M?
R-H? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. His
Rahm Emanuel is an American politician and a diplomat. Let me see. He's the current U.S. ambassador to Japan.
Oh, okay. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
Okay, right. In the Obama administration, he was was he the chief of staff?
Yeah, he was the chief of staff.
He was. And
mayor of Chicago for 8 years.
Right. So that's the connection. And his brother is in Hollywood. I think he's a big producer or director.
Yeah, Entourage, right? Was Entourage his brother's thing? I think it's brother.
It might be. I wish I'm. Yeah. You know, I'm not very well versed on these things. You seem to know all the productions, all the shows. I don't.
Yeah.
Know all that.
I don't. Yeah. Every once in a while, I get lucky and I remember. But anyway, yeah, it's very interesting. Whenever you talk about state of the state, it's one of those things. I know people. They have a list of things that they do throughout the year. And they say you got to go to most of these. You know, these are people that are you know, have to be in the public eye or whatever. And you know, I've tried to go, not every year, but I've tried to go to at least one every once, you know, like once in a lifetime. And one is the State of the Union, one is the Super Bowl, one is Oscars, and one is, you know, the Emmys, one is the Grammys, you know, one is Major League Baseball World Series. And, you know, I've been to a lot of the sports things, the drafts. Mm-hmm. But State of the Union is always on those lists that are there. And there are people who you know, make sure they go to, you know, wealthy people who have a lot of time and yeah, connected yeah. people. Even if they're wealthy, they got to be somewhat connected to do that. But that's a whole different world. The people that are doing it all year long, making these key and Golden Globes.
So I guess it would be nice.
Yeah, but anyway, so Joe Biden screwed the pooch last night, so to speak. Right?
He. Oh boy.
Is this the worst State of the Union you've ever seen?
Ever? No, I don't know. Well, you know, with Joe Biden, you never know what you're getting because I don't care what they say. They're pumping him up for this. They must. Just as they did for the debate with Trump in 2020. Biden was right on. He was right on target. He was energetic. He didn't seem diminished at all. And Trump was, you know, came in, you know, looking angry and took the approach that Biden was stupid and that all backfired. I don't know. I was just turned off by this. I felt his delivery was objectionable to my ears. I wasn't feeling well. And then I looked on some websites. I looked at the National Review website. There were a number of people commenting the same things I was thinking. I can't watch this. I turned this off.
Wow.
So I wasn't losing my mind. Obviously, this did not appeal to a lot of people. And his comments, you know, that I mentioned the one about Israel, he actually was very bold in addressing the Roe versus Wade, that decision from last year. And you know, of course, all the Supreme, the Supreme Court justices were there.
Yep.
Seated out in front. And he blamed them in a way, you know, indirect. Well, he worded it, or whoever wrote this. I don't know. I don't know how many speech writers were working on this. I don't know. I don't recall the name of the head speech writer who phrased it such that he was blaming the Supreme Court for the debacle we're in now with abortion rights.
Yeah.
And that is left up now to the state. And one of the guests, one of Jill Biden's guests, you know, it's Joe Biden. I don't know if you saw it. Well, you didn't.
I didn't watch it.
Have a chance.
Yeah.
You didn't watch it. Okay. So you didn't see. She was dressed better this time. She wasn't.
She wasn't dressed like a clown. Who was?
Right. She wasn't wearing these oversized floral patterns. Right. Exactly. She was. I thought, and I'm not. You know, I'm not Mr. Blackwell. I don't know who does the who's the fashion spokesperson? Who does all the runway criticisms?
I don't know, but when she was alive, the great, late, great Joan Rivers was, she would have been all over that Jill Biden.
Exactly. Exactly. You're right. I forgot. Yes, she and her daughter used to do all the runway shows for pre-Oscar, pre-this, Emmys, whatever. The big show was the Oscars, and they were there at the runway, and you know, the red carpet. They did all the red carpet shows. Yeah, she would have destroyed Jill Biden by now. So yeah. Jill Biden was wearing a subdued pastel print suit, evening suit. That's what I called it. And among her guests was the woman who was in the headlines recently. She tried to get an abortion in her state because she was several months into her pregnancy. I think she was close to delivery, and she needed to have the pregnancy terminated because it would have posed a threat to her life. The child was deformed. The child had a congenital problem, and the state refused. And she had to go. She had to travel out of state. So this made the headline. She was the guest. The woman was the guest of
Jill.
Of Jill, Dr. Biden.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. By the way, the oversized floral pattern was compared to E.T. the horrible dress that they that seven-year-old Drew Barrymore put on E.T. in the in the famous movie. I sent it to you, you know, back in January.
Yes, yes, I have. I remember now. Thank you. Yes, exactly. So I think she was dressed better. Maybe she hired a stylist, finally.
Yeah, wow. You know? Yeah, they desperately needed it. I'm sure there's a budget, and we should not complain about that money being well spent, for sure. It's our first lady. We don't want to be humiliated. Frank McKay here, MelissaEiteljorn.com, everyone. Check out the documentaries there. Author and novelist and Renaissance woman, Melissa Eiteljorn is our host each and every week. Melissa, you want to hear a conspiracy theory that is going to come up, and I'm just, this is me, just nobody has said it to me, but I am going to be shocked if it doesn't come up. Biden, if he sounds, and I haven't seen it, right, but I'm taking your word and everybody else's word, who's including Democrats, who are ripping him on this. The Democrats that are feeding him the drugs want him to do poorly. And they want him to do poorly so they could pull him out in, and the president. They want to pull him out in the convention because maybe his numbers are going further south than what they are. And maybe where they once thought he was the only Democrat to be able to beat Donald Trump, maybe now they're thinking that he's the only Democrat who can't beat Donald Trump. And the worse they make him look, the better it is to get him out and to be able to convince him, Jill, and whoever his most loyal people are, that maybe it's time to move on from the president. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, it makes absolutely perfect sense because I I'm glad that you I don't know which source did you say?
No, none whatsoever. I'm just making it up. I'm just saying, but I will be shocked if. By the way, I could be wrong, but I imagine some conspiracy theories are going to come out on that.
Yeah.
And
but
it's not a bad one.
No. I think you're hitting the bullseye because I've heard similar things, not from the internet, but from radio talk show hosts who obviously are from the other side of the aisle. Namely, let's see. I wouldn't know. It's not Bill O'Reilly. It may be. It might be him. Roger Stone.
Yeah.
Roger Stone, who is this? He's the source of many and many. I don't know if I would call that. Well, maybe outrageous or definitely eyebrow raising comments. He made that comment on, and he has a radio show that's heard in New York on WABC.
Yeah. Now Roger Stone, I should give him a shout out here. He was on my friend Tom Shalero's show, noon on LI News Radio, and Shalero asked him a question about me because I was on right before that. And Roger Stone said, "Frank McKay is a good friend, a long friend, and a good friend." And he said, "I've got all the respect in the world for you know." So right back at you, Roger. And I know, listen, he's. He can go off the deep end on times, but there's no question, and he's a very, very bright guy. So right back at him.
Yeah, he's very well spoken, very eloquent, and that he made that comment on his show. That's where I remember hearing it. Yes.
Yeah. Now he is the type of guy that will get information like that, and he'll talk about it even without a source. But that's him giving a theory. But he also has very good sources. A lot of people talk to Roger Stone. But we're going to, every time Biden has a major flub, has a major gaffe, and, you know, blowing the state of the state is not a gaffe. That's an event. That's a showcased event. How many people today say are watching the state of the State of the Union? Millions, right? I mean, and right off the bat, 10 million people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not the Super Bowl, but nevertheless, people are watching all over the world. And if he looks really bad, the Democrats are going to, you know, are going to have to make some kind of move. They do not want him going in and getting blown out by Trump. Now, was President Trump, former President Trump, in the audience?
I think he must have watched it.
Yeah, well, no doubt, but he wasn't in the audience.
Somewhere.
If George Santos can get in there, I imagine Donald Trump can get in there.
You think he would? He would dare come in?
I don't know that he would. You know, he would be a real distraction there. Maybe he would be talked out of it by the senators and congressional members on his side. And it would look like an insurrection. I don't think he wants to do all of that. I'm sure he could have got in if he wanted to go in. George Santos got in.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, George Santos, he carries a degree of notoriety, but I think it's easier for him to slip in and go to the gallery.
Yeah.
Even with Donald Trump, can you imagine the whole commotion?
I don't know. I wonder if knowing the former president, before he was president, I could see him wanting to at least discuss, should I go? And then was maybe talked out of it. And even Secret Service might say, you know, it's just too much work for them. He's going to be blamed for that. But would that have been a circus if he would have shown up?
It would have been. Wow. But I don't think this time.
I'm glad he didn't, you know?
Yeah. Maybe his son, maybe Don Jr. would have the audacity to come in and
Eric,
sit there and sit with the Republican contingent. You notice the Republicans. You didn't watch most of it, but early on, the Republicans were sitting there when Biden started making his comments. And even Mike Johnson, this new speaker of the House, you could tell the frown on his face, especially during the abortion comment that Biden was directing toward the Supreme Court, and he's sitting there like, yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You know? Right. Yeah. Well, wasn't say he look. Mike Johnson is very, very sensitive to pro-life take. Right. He's a big pro-lifer.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he is.
I think he is. I mean, he was trying to be cordial to the president, but at every 5 minutes you could see Kamala jumping up and giving Biden a standing ovation,
she's a team player. Sure,
no, she is. Yes, because she's yeah.
Just don't let her serve you food. Keep her away from your food.
No. Right, because you know what she's thinking. And Mike Johnson's sitting there like, yeah, sure. And the Republicans. Oh, some of them were on their phones. I noticed this. They were on their phones while he's making his comments, and they're looking at they're trolling on their phone. They're trolling, I'm sure they're online or whatever, and they're texting on their phones while he's speaking, which I can't believe. That's the most outrageous thing I would imagine. Okay, I could see a teenager doing that, but a member of Congress sitting there like on the phone while the president's speaking.
Wow.
Let me check my email.
Anything to disrespect him. I mean, it's I'm all for protecting the sanctity of the office and being respectful and honoring the office. But, this year it's gotten really nasty between President Trump and President Biden. There's no love lost between those two men and the supporters. And when your president looks bad like this, boy, it's very hard to defend when you're the Democrats. So, you're gonna start hearing a drumbeat get louder and louder to get rid of him. And I asked Tom Shalero, who had Roger Stone on the other day, I said, ask Roger what he thinks about Michelle Obama. And, of course, Roger's the one who's banging that drum, that they're going to come out of that convention with Michelle Obama as the nominee. And I'll tell you, for them, it's a pretty damn good idea, because I think she'll run away with the election. I'm not voting for her, I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you, if they put her in, I mean, she's going to run away with this thing.
I know. Well, she's not bulletproof either, but, she's got some skeletons in her closet, too.
Yeah, but they're Teflon.
Teflon skeletons, right? They can't. They're not brittle.
Yeah. Barack Obama, I mean, he put out a book, and he got out early in it. He put out a book talking about doing cocaine and having tried cocaine and tried all of this and, different things, maybe even about sex in there and everything. And he released a book. And released it right around the time when that Robert Reich stuff was happening. Was it Robert Reich? Or, no, I can't think of it. Was it Reverend Reich? Remember the guy who was really anti-Israel?
Yes, that was his pastor for 20 years.
So when that guy was getting a lot of attention, all of a sudden a book on Obama came out and talked about drug use. And in 2008, when there's an election going on, and potential president of the United States says, I used cocaine, and it's not a big story. I don't know. You're Teflon. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, he basically cleared the way for everybody. You know, remembering that that Bill Clinton, wouldn't say that he tried pot, and then finally he admitted and he said, I tried, but I didn't inhale, which was ridiculous. But and that became a joke. That was only 1992, let's keep in mind. And then here we are 16 years later talking about a much harsher drug and cocaine, and it just completely ignored by the electorate and whatever. So that's what I'm saying. The Obamas kind of have a Teflon-ness to them that, and again, I'm not saying that they're scandal-ridden, but, I mean, let's face it. I mean, they're going to get treatment by the media like nobody else has gotten treatment by the media, Michelle and Barack, so the president and first lady, Michelle Obama, get awful, an awful lot of passes from the world. Who knows? Maybe because of who they are, maybe because he was the first African-American to be elected president. But no matter what, I mean, Trump doesn't get that kind of pass from, and I'm not defending Trump. A lot of his troubles he causes on his own, no doubt about it. But former President Trump gets nothing, no pass from the mainstream media.
Yeah, I know. It's if Trump gets through, I think the press will have conniptions. The media will just lose its mind if it hasn't already.
Yep. Well, this all started with the State of the State. Frank McKay here, urging everyone to go to MelissaIteljuran.com. And going back to it, Melissa, what kind of repercussions are going to be there because of this? I know it's going to be joked about and laughed about and everything else. Does it get more serious than just mocking? Does it get to the point where somebody starts saying, hey, somebody on the Democratic side, hey, we got to get rid of this guy?
I'm sure things are going on behind the closed doors as we speak. You know, we're not privy to what the actual people in power are thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, I think everybody has surmises this, except for maybe the very true diehard Democrats who really believe that Biden is sincerely doing the very best job he possibly can, and that he is in total control of everything. Other people are pulling the strings, and I'm sure that in some indirect way, former President Obama is exerting his influence on the way the country is going. And I'm sure with last night's performance, I think tongues are wagging, you know, within the upper echelons, the hidden power seats, in at least in the Democratic Party.
Well, here's the question. If Michelle Obama wants this, I'm sure she can have it. All she has to do is say yes. Right now, she's the most powerful woman in the country, if not the world, in essence, because she could say one word, right. Yes, and she is going to be the nominee, and that one word may lead to her being the president of the United States. So, if she wants it, right. Then she has all the say in the world. You know, then she could, all the say in the world, and the Bidens will walk away like good soldiers, and they got what they wanted. He got one term, and if he ends up being Lyndon Johnson, he ends up being Lyndon Johnson. But he has, you know, he won, and he'll go out a winner, so to speak. And people will talk about, you know, how terribly he did, but it's sandwiched between Donald Trump, who was highly controversial, and who may be, you know, it may, the other slice of bread could be Michelle Obama, and that'll dominate the headlines, and everybody will forget who Biden was after a little while, and we'll take it from there. But if she wants it, she's there.
It's hers. Look, it's hers to walk away from.
Yes. Well put. That's exactly what it is. Final word on the president's speech. Was there one cringeworthy moment that you haven't brought up yet that just stands out to you as being terrible, or is it just an overall feeling that he gave on the whole thing?
Cringeworthy. Most of it was cringeworthy. Most of it was. I mean, okay. Here's the Snickers bar reference to shrinkage in our packaging of items, and
oh my God.
And Biden's accusations of corporate greed that's causing us to lose our just amount of Snickers bars or Mars bars or something. I thought that was I couldn't believe he was saying this.
Wow.
He's using. I mean, first of all. Why are you making such a big deal about it, number one? This has been going on since the pandemic. This is election talk. It's all rhetoric. But this whole Snickers bar thing, I thought it was childish. I really did.
Sounds like electioneering to me. It sounds like, this wouldn't come up in a non-presidential election year.
Exactly. It didn't sit well with me. I thought it was ridiculous. I mean, this is so unbelievable, you know. And people are complaining since this pandemic and since Biden has been in office, life hasn't been so easy. I mean, you can't certain items are not even available. The price of common grocery goods are sky high. I can't think of it. Here's a perfect example: cereal. You used to get, not even a 10-ounce, maybe 8-ounce box of cereal, any brand, you know, any common brand out there. Sometimes you're paying in certain outlets, you're paying $6 for a box of cereal.
I paid, you know, $5.99 or something for a box of cereal the other day, and it wasn't even like a giant box of cereal.
Yeah,
it was like a small,
right.
You know, average sized box of cereal. And yeah, terrible. If you want that cereal, you're going to pay it.
Exactly, and they say some stores have sales. I bought something recently, and they said this is not on sale. Is that okay with you? No, I hope so. Let's see what it comes out with, because I thought it was on sale.
You can
clearly marked.
it's crazy, Melissa. Like as always, you're on on target. You're always on target. Great job.
Thank you.
And thank you so much. And to everyone, of course, we thank you for listening.
We certainly do. And as I've said before, Frank and I are, we count you as our favorite people. And we value your listenership as we navigate these very rocky waters in our nation. And we're all in this together.
Yeah, no doubt about it. As Melissa says, we value your time and your listenership more than we could ever express. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you again, Melissa. And we will see you all next time on the Melissa Itell Joran Show.
You've been listening to Melissa Itell-Duran and co-host Frank McKay on Breaking It Down Radio.